You can be turning in your scripture to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And just leave it open there at verse 1, and you'll be in good shape. See, you're in good shape already because you're sitting in the house of the Lord. Where else can you be in better shape than sitting in the house of the Lord? That's one place, James said, in heaven. That's the only other place, isn't it? Rather be here than the best hospital in the whole country. Well, I have a question for you. Did Christ's disciples or apostles see the abomination of desolation? Do you know what the abomination of desolation was? It's when the Antichrist takes a pig and sacrifices it on the altar in the temple at Jerusalem. That hasn't happened yet. That's yet to come. That's in our future. Well, it's not in our future because we won't be there. We'll be raptured out. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's the abomination of desolation. The Jews wouldn't even eat the meat of a pig. It was forbidden for them. And yet here this imposter is sacrificing one on the altar in Jerusalem. That signaled that very bad times were ahead for everyone who is still on earth. Well, did they see that when Satan shed the blood of a pig in God's temple in Jerusalem? No, they did not see it. They did not see it because it's a future event. Has anyone seen it? No, it's still going to happen in the future. We will not even see it. Well, we won't see it in our lifetime. How can I say that and be so sure? Because if you're a born-again believer, you'll be gone to glory. Hallelujah. You won't be there for that event. Because it's not going to happen until 3.5 years into the tribulation. It's the midpoint of the tribulation. The tribulation is when God's Spirit has, we like to say, left earth. But he hasn't completely left. He's still working on individuals. He's not working on everybody in the world at that point. That's happening now. He's working on everybody in the world, drawing them to Christ, drawing them to faith in the sacrifice that Jesus made for them so they can have life everlasting. But in the tribulation, the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He only works on what I'll call the elect. Those that God knows are going to say yes to Him and make that commitment. He'll be working for them at that point, after the rapture. The rapture signals the beginning of the tribulation. Just to catch you up a little bit there. So, we will not see it in our lifetime because, well, we won't see the abomination of desolation. Could we see the rapture? Could we be raptured during our lifetime? Amen. Yes. All things that need to happen have happened. The Lord can call His church home at any moment. Any moment. We might not even get out of the service this morning. You know, boom, there we go. That would be glorious, wouldn't it? It's exciting just to think about it. Scripture says that we won't see that. We'll be gone. The born again in this world will have already been raptured, gone to glory. It will be seen by those who are alive on earth at the midpoint of the 7-year tribulation. Everybody won't live to that point. Everybody's not going to be raptured. And everybody that's left behind isn't going to live for 3.5 years. Some are going to die sooner than that. hopefully they will have accepted Christ as their Savior before that happens. They will have the opportunity. They will have the opportunity. But it will be much, much more difficult for that to happen then than it is now. The Antichrist will commit the atrocity of the abomination of desolation in the Jerusalem temple. So, beloved, keep on enduring. Keep on enduring in this world right now. Just like the song said, cast your cares on the Lord. Keep doing that. That's the only way you're going to make it. In peace. Well, you'll make it if you've been saved. You're going to make it. The Lord guarantees that. So don't let me confuse you with anything I say about that. If you're born again, you're on your way. Amen?
Amen.
The question is, how are you going to live while you're still here? Are you going to have peace? You can have it. You can have it. What must you do? Cast all your cares on Him, on Christ. He knows there's still suffering in the world. He knows there's still hard times. He understands that. And He gives us a remedy for that. Call on Me. Cast your cares on Me. Walk in the Spirit. That's where our peace is. Obeying the Holy Spirit and walking in Him. So we need to keep on enduring until we leave this life, either by death or by rapture, either way. Perhaps that moment will come soon and end this gospel age. That's the age we're in right now. In biblical history, we're in the gospel age. Another way of saying it is the age of whosoever will. Whosoever will call on the name of Jesus and be saved. We're in that age. Yes, it's also called the church age, James is reminding me. Because it's about Jesus Christ building and packing His church. And we're part of that. We have a testimony to give. We have a story to tell. And it's about Jesus and how He loved us and saved us. And every story is unique. We should all be telling our story. Do you think people need to hear it?
Yes.
They do. They need to hear it. Because they're in the same boat we were in before we got saved, looking out for number one with our measly power. That's where they're at. But now we can trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer before we go on. Lord, I'm so thankful for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Be in this message, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us to take it and by faith use it to bring others into a saving knowledge of Your presence in this world by the Holy Spirit and in the next world to come, face to face with You, Lord. Help us to shout it from the rooftops and whisper it to those we're sitting next to, wherever we're at. Help us to give the testimony that You are the Savior. You are the Messiah. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and You are going to save us. In fact, You already have with what You did on the cross. We give You praise and glory. Help us to understand it all and testify to it, saving others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
What does one say to a person who says, I'm not interested in hearing about the Savior, Jesus Christ? I don't want to know. I think I'm okay. Maybe we should say something like this. Because you've already said, do you know about Jesus and how He loved you and gave His life for you? And they responded that way. So what can you say after that? Maybe they need the cold, hard fact, right? Maybe they need that smack upside the head. Maybe we should say something like, would you like to hear what happens when the world goes dark? Yes, when the Holy Spirit and all living believers are called to glory out of this world. Maybe you want to hear about that. Or maybe a time when no one will be allowed to speak the name of Jesus unless they're willing to die for it or risk that. It won't be safe even to mention His name. That time is coming. That time is coming. Right now, we can speak it, but we still risk somebody being negative to us, don't we? Everybody doesn't want to hear the name of Jesus. I had a lady in Walmart one day. I asked her about Jesus. She said, "Oh, I don't care about that." And off she went. I didn't even have time to say anything after that. They're out there, folks. We know they need Jesus. They're on the fast track to eternal damnation. That in itself ought to motivate us to say something. So we need to get out there and be verbal about Jesus and telling people about Jesus. You're in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. You're at verse 1. Amen? Amen. All right. In the previous chapter, chapter 23, Jesus has just read the riot act to the Jews in the temple. He's rehearsed with them their history and how lost they really are. And he didn't mince any words about it either. He came right out with where they were at. He let them know that they revealed their true selves by rejecting him, rejecting all that the temple itself stood for, and that they were looking out for number one. Jesus tells them what their reward will be. He says, "Your reward will be this, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth." You're guilty of all the death of people on earth, the shedding of their blood. Well, why are they guilty? Because they were chosen by God to give His message, live the life that would draw people to Jesus. Did they do it? No, they didn't. They failed in that attempt. But God didn't let that stop him. He went ahead and continued to save people. Amen? Amen. So he read them the riot act. He let them know they were in big trouble. And so then we come to chapter 24 in Matthew. Now, some Bible scholars say there's nothing in this chapter about the redemption of Gentiles. I beg to differ. Because Jesus is talking to the Jews. He's not talking to Gentiles. But the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is all about Gentiles. Gentiles are not exempt from any part of the tribulation. Soon as the rapture happens, the Antichrist is going to be on the trail of any non-Jewish person left in the world. Amen. They have no protection. They don't have Jesus Christ in their life, in their heart. So they're going to be in big trouble. And it's going to be that way for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, the Jewish nation has a peace treaty with the Antichrist. And he's allowing them to do the things they normally would do, worshiping God. They're not worshiping Jesus. They don't accept him as Messiah. They're worshiping God, and they can continue to do that. The Antichrist doesn't care about that until they get to the midpoint of the tribulation. The rapture's already happened. All the church of Jesus Christ has gone home to glory. And now it's just the unsaved and the Jews, right? And since they don't trust in Jesus, they're not saved. So they have to deal with it, amen? Matthew 24, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He's been in the temple talking to the Jews in there and telling them exactly where they stand. How do people know they need help if they don't know what condition they're in? That's why we go to doctors. We're feeling something off. We want to know what it is. We want to know what we can do about it. And that's what Jesus did for them. He told them of their condition. He told them what they needed to do about it. They let it pass. So he departed out of the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus, did you notice the architecture on these buildings? Do you notice how grand they look and how majestic they are? And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons we come down here. It's a holy place. And we come down to worship. Jesus said this to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Oh, it's beautiful, but it's all going away. It's all going to be destroyed. Have you ever thought about that? Everything in this world is going away.
Amen.
It's being destroyed.
Amen.
If by nothing but time. Time is a destroyer. Just look around. Look at our gray hair, right? We didn't always have gray hair. We look at young people and say, "Boy, that's beautiful hair you have." Mine was like that years ago. All the trees, all the animals, everything in this world is headed for destruction.
Amen.
So enjoy it while you can, because one day it won't be there, right? But we won't be there either. So his disciples are somewhat stunned. They can't believe he's saying it. They follow Jesus out of the city to their regular meeting place. Where was that?
Mount of Olives,
yeah. They're going out there to the garden. They follow him out there. The disciples of Jesus want to know more about what he said to them. How's all that going to go away? So that's why we're in the Gospel of Matthew. Now jump down to verse 3 if we're not already there. I guess we're there. So Jesus, now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" Why did they come to him privately? They didn't want anyone to think they were stupid. Why didn't we know this? Why didn't we get it? We love the Lord. Okay, so they're like we are, right? We would do the same thing. We want to act like we're in the know. That's what we do. So they came to him privately and they said, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? How are we going to know when the time is right?" But there's a big problem here. They're not asking him. I know you're thinking about, when's the sign of your coming? When is the sign of Jesus coming back to earth? Is that what you're thinking? Because that's not what they're thinking. They're thinking, what's going to be the sign of when you become king in Israel? That's what they're all about. They're in the here and now. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They're not looking forward to a time of glory with Jesus. They're looking forward to a time of him being the king and they're serving him in his court. That's not what he's talking about. But they don't get it. They don't know the plan yet, right? They don't have the Old Testament written down for them to read. Oh, it's written down, but they can't read it. You have to be a priest or you have to be one of their servants to have access. You only hear what the priest wants you to hear. We have the luxury of having God's Word at our fingertips, and we know, but they didn't. Go to verse 4 now. So Jesus says to them, he's going to start putting them into the know, into reality. He says to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Are these things happening today? I mean, the United States just attacked another country. Why would we do such a thing? Well, our president believes in peace from strength. That's his motto. That's what he lives by. I'm going to bring peace, even if I have to use the power of this country to bring it. He's done that several times already. He's trying it again. I hope he's in the Lord's will. That's all I can say. That's what I'm praying for, that he's doing what the Lord wants him to do. But the scripture says there's going to be an increase in false messiahs. Do we see that today? Are there people out there claiming to be the Messiah? Yes, there are. We don't hear much about it because, like good believers and faithful members of the church, we don't watch those kind of people. We look for the truth of Jesus Christ. Those are the people we look for. But they're out there, people imitating and claiming to be Christ. Is there an increase in warfare? Yes, we just said there was. Is there an increase in famines, plagues, and natural disasters? We're still trying to recover from natural disasters that happened last year in our country. So they are out there. These are signs of the end times. Are we in the end times?
Yes,
we are in the end times. In fact, I would go ahead and say we're in the end of the end times. We're getting close to the end of this, right? But it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. The end of the end times begins with the end of the age of grace. That's what's going to end first. No more whosoever will. Right now, that's the thing. Call on the name of Jesus and what will happen? You'll be saved. That's not going to be true later on. Well, actually, it will be true, but only certain people are going to do it because only certain people are going to still be influenced by the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be a worldwide evangelistic campaign. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing now. He's trying to influence everyone to call on the name of Jesus. We know that the Lord is talking about the end of the age of grace. But his disciples don't know this. In this passage, we are given a warning. We're given a warning. And here's the warning. It says, take heed. That means warning. Warning, Will Smith. There's danger ahead. You'll figure it out. Take heed that no one deceives you. No one tricks you so that you end up in the wrong place. Does the warning fit their time and mindset, the time of the disciples and apostles? Don't be fooled by someone claiming to be Jesus. Does it fit their time? Yes, it does. Even the scriptures talk of someone who came claiming to be the Messiah and led a bunch of people astray and they all got killed out in the middle of nowhere. It was happening then. Is it happening now? Are there people being led astray by those claiming to be the Messiah?
Yes.
Cults are out there. You have to be careful. You have to take heed that you're not deceived. The warning is for all believers, for all times. Until we all go home to be with Jesus, we need to take heed. Now you know, right? Are there people out there that don't know?
Yes.
There's your mission. There's your mission. The warning is for all believers of all time. The warning, don't be deceived, fits all of us because these events are only the beginning of birth pains. That's what the scripture says. We're not even at the beginning of the tribulation yet. We still got a little bit to go. The warning, don't be deceived, fits all because events are only the beginning of birth pains, the beginning of the tribulation, not the beginning of his kingdom. That's what the disciples were looking for. It's the beginning of Jesus being the king here. We're going to kick the Romans out and have Jesus for king. Not going to happen. Did they know that? No. They were hoping, but it didn't happen. So we are waiting, aren't we? We are doing what believers should be doing while we're waiting. We're gathering together. We're worshiping the Lord. We're singing and praising hymns. We're reading Scripture and talking about it and encouraging each other to continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and even go and tell others about Jesus. Do you think Jesus wants His kingdom to grow? Of course He does. Every king wants a larger kingdom. That's just the way it is. But we know this is a righteous kingdom. It deserves to have as many in it as can possibly fit. That's what we're looking out for. That's why we do these things. That's why we preach the Word. We go out and do soul winning. We teach the Scriptures. We love one another and help one another. We do all those things because we trust Christ. We have faith in Him.
Amen.
Just like they did. They had faith in Jesus. Didn't they? They gave their lives for Him. They left their homes and families for Jesus. They literally gave their lives. Does Jesus expect us to do that? If necessary, yes. But at the very least, He expects us to go out and preach the gospel by telling people and living a life that glorifies the Lord. He wants us to do that. They did it back then. Can we do it now?
Yes.
Of course we can. So we're going to take now a quantum leap forward. Not to today, but from 2,600 years ago to sometime in the future. We're not there yet. The future's ahead of us. But we're going to take a leap out there anyway to a time yet to come. A time that we know is coming. We know it's coming, don't we? The Scripture says He's going to come back and take His church. We know that, don't we? Because Scripture says it. That's how we know it. Is God's Word true? Then we know it. So, this supernatural, miraculous event happens. The rapture. Christ's church on earth, living believers are called home. One day the trumpet's going to sound.
Amen.
Bang, we're all going to be gone. In the twinkling of an eye, right? All right, now we're going to skip down to verse 9. That's where I'm going to start again. Same chapter, Matthew 24. Verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Who are the they? Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. Who's going to deliver people up to tribulation? Non-believers. The forces of the Antichrist. Demons inhabiting people. Yes, that's going to be an activity going on earth. You know, people are going to look at some of their friends who they thought were good people, and now they're dragging people into court or to the authorities to be executed because they spoke the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's what's going to be happening. So they're going to be dragged into the authorities. That's tribulation. And they're going to be put to death. And anybody naming the name of Jesus is going to be hated by everyone. Will people be openly talking about Jesus then?
No,
they won't. They'll be using old-time things that maybe they picked up somewhere in church, like the sign of Ichmos. You ever hear about the sign of Ichmos? The fish? It's just two lines, one going this way, one going this way. And when you mark that in the sand, one person draws a line and sees what the other person's going to do. And if they react by drawing the other line that creates the fish, then they know they're a believer.
Amen.
And they can talk with them. If they don't, better let this one go by. Yes, it's going to come back down to that again. Gentile believers and Jewish believers, if identified, will be persecuted and executed for their faith in Christ from the beginning of the tribulation. as soon as the rapture happens, that will start happening. People will start pointing fingers. And people will be executed. Many of them would even out of trial. No trial. Remember, Christ's church, all living believers have been raptured. They've been taken to glory. They're no longer in the world evangelizing. Now it's only up to those who have heard about Jesus, have some knowledge of Him, and now they're seeing that these things are happening that were talked about. Things they thought were, man, that is far-fetched. That is never going to happen. But now it's happening. They have to be accountable. So these that are being executed during the tribulation, they're either one of two things. Either they're not doing what the Antichrist says in general, because he's in charge and his minions are in charge, or they are new believers that aren't doing what the Antichrist says. And so they're being executed. These new believers might be confessing Christ at the pain of death. Can't speak the name of Christ now. That's not allowed. You're under the Antichrist and his law. He hates Jesus. Don't mention him. Maybe these people who are talking about Christ had heard about the rapture, didn't believe it, but now they're living through it. Now seeing it, they do believe. It was true. It is happening. What am I going to do now? Well, hopefully they're going to say, I'm going to trust Jesus. And I have some close friends. I'm going to see if they're going to trust Jesus. And then we'll go on together. Now seeing it, they do believe. Now, though, it will be much tougher to live for Christ. Look at verse 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Fake and true believers will be revealed. They'll be revealed. And either you'll name the name of Christ or you won't. It'll be the time of true confession, won't it? Who does one believe or trust? Brotherly love is waning, virtually disappeared. People are forced to look out for number one. That's what's going to happen. Everybody's going to be driven back into their own mind, their own thoughts, their own heart. And who are they going to trust? It's going to be hard. It's going to be a very hard thing to do, to trust someone. The Holy Spirit, He will be in some. Because the scripture says in verse 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Who is going to be able to endure till the end? Only someone inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Curtis just said, tribulation saints. Yes, people will get saved during this time. It will happen. And then secretly they'll try to do things to influence others. The Holy Spirit will be in these brand new believers in the tribulation, and He will empower their faith to endure. He will give them wisdom on how to endure. He will show them the things they need to do to endure, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. You see, we don't feel that much today because we have so much freedom in our country, we don't lean on the Holy Spirit very much. Things happen, and the first thing we do is we try to figure out what we are going to do to overcome the problem. It'll be much different then. They won't be thinking that. They won't be able to trust their own judgment or the judgment of others they know. It'll be through that faith that they endure. No, everyone won't live through it. Even those that trust Christ. Many of those won't live through it. They'll die for their confession of faith. That's happened in the world before. People died for their confession of faith. It's happening in the world right now. People are dying for their confession of faith. Not altogether bad. As soon as you die, you're at home with the Lord. So everybody won't live through it, but those who don't will be with Christ. Verse 14, and this gospel, what gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what's being talked about here. That's what Matthew is writing about here. The gospel of Jesus Christ, this gospel of the kingdom of Christ will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The end of what? Not the end of the world. The end of the tribulation. That will come. Satan will be bound and cast into prison. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached as witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. They'll be preaching before the end comes. So somehow enough believers have come to the front and began preaching at pain of death. They're risking their life to give the good news that Jesus saves. It's going to happen. This worldwide proclamation of the gospel during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is the last chance testimony directly in the face of Satan. Yes, that's what will have to be done. He and his forces will be hovering over, daring you, daring them to speak the name. Many believers in the world at that time will die for their testimony. Many will endure to the end. Who knows who will be? They probably won't even know until it happens. But then the end will come. Verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, that would be the temple in Jerusalem, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, we were just talking about the end of the tribulation, but this is saying, hey, you're only halfway through. You're only halfway through. At this point, the Jewish nation is no longer going to be protected. The Antichrist is not going to hold back on them any longer. It's either you will worship the Antichrist or you will die. That's your two choices. It's a pretty tough choice, isn't it? So if you don't have any information about Jesus, how are you going to make a good decision? That's why the Holy Spirit is going to bring forth a large number of people at the end or the midpoint of the tribulation to give testimony for Christ. And what are they going to say? Here we are. We believe in Christ. We've lived the last 3.5 years teaching and preaching about Jesus, and we've made it to this point. And we're encouraging you to trust Him. Oh, we know your history. We know who you are. We know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but believe. It's the only way you're going to live. It's the only way you're going to live today and keep living for eternity. See, Christ doesn't just give you life for the moment. He gives you life for eternity. Never-ending life. So when they hear and see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, let those who are in Judea flee. Where are they going to flee to? The mountains. They're going to go up into the caves and things around Jerusalem and look for safety there. At that point, the Antichrist will declare himself worldwide leader and God of the world. You will now worship me or you will die. That's your two choices. He's going to demand that everyone worship him. Ryan, would you please come? But there's good news. There's good news. Hey, with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, there's always good news. Good news is always there. Verse 22, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved." No flesh would be saved. But, there's that beautiful word, but.
Elect.
There is hope. "But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." They'll be shortened. That's not saying that the 7.5 years are going to be shortened. No, it's still going to be 7.5 years, just like Scripture said it would. But it's not going to go on and on and on. It's going to stop at the end of 7.5 years. So there's hope. Jesus, the Scripture, God is giving us hope. Giving hope to anybody that's left behind. 7.5 years, it's going to end. So trust in God. Trust in the Lord and make it through the 7.5 years. This means that if the tribulation lasted longer than 7 years, no humanity would survive. But it's not, here's some good news, it's not God's plan to wipe out all of humanity. He still has love for people, and He's made a way for them. But what do they have to do? We talked about it in Bible study this morning before church. You must humble yourself. You're going to ask for something? You ever have to ask somebody for something? Ask a friend for help? Ask a boss for a raise? Ask something? And what do you have to do first? You humble yourself. You throw yourself on the graces of their mercy, right? That's what people will have to do. They'll have to trust Jesus. They'll have to humble themselves and tell Him, "I now believe You are the Christ. I understand now You are the Christ." That's going to come first. Otherwise, they're never going to say that. People who won't humble themselves are still trying to figure out a way to get around it. Get around Jesus. They think, "Oh, if I can just find the way to get around Jesus, I won't need to humble myself." Never going to happen. You must humble yourself. And then ask Him for salvation. And what will happen? You'll be saved. Yes. Sounds simple, doesn't it? So simple a caveman could do it. But cavemen evidently were hard-headed. They all died out according to history. Secular history, I might add. "Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." God has mercy. And He will have mercy. And He'll shorten it to 7.5 years. So people will survive. What have you just heard? What have you actually just heard? You've actually just heard the story of people who will be left behind. Have you read the book? The series? Some have. It's the story of what earth might be like after the rapture. That's what the Left Behind series is about. That's what we've just heard. Left behind at the rapture when the church goes to glory and everybody else is left behind. If people won't listen to the goodness of Christ, because that's what we try to tell them all the time, isn't it? When we go out to evangelize, don't we tell them the good news of Jesus, how He gave His life on the cross so they could be saved? What better news could there be? But yet they don't want to trust. They don't want to thank Jesus. Well, if they won't believe the goodness of Christ, then maybe they'll hear the horror of tribulation. The point is, we need to tell them. Either way, no matter which way they're going to go, doesn't matter. The point is, we need to go and tell, don't we? We need to go and give the good news. And if we have to give the bad news, okay. But we want to go and tell them so they'll know they've got to make a decision. And what if they don't make a decision? If they live after the rapture, at least they'll know what's happening because you told them. And they'll know what they need to do then, right? Oh my goodness. It was true. What they said was true. Now I know I have to trust Jesus. That's the point. Whether you go now or later, even today, what are we supposed to be doing? Giving the good news of Jesus. That's what we're about. That's what we should be about. We're going to stand and sing. While we're singing, you can come and make a commitment to Jesus.